السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. Brothers and sisters, in 4 to 5 days, we will be entering in the first 10 days of Dhul-Hijjah. These are blessed days of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, sacred, holy, full of blessing, mercy, forgiveness, delivery from hellfire. And as we say time and time again, that the way Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created different creatures and honored mankind among the creatures. And so we are the most honored of the creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then He sent messengers, and among messengers He elevated the status of some, such as Nuh alayhi salam, Ibrahim, Musa, Isa, Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He created paradise, and He made Jannatul Firdaus, the highest point of paradise, the highest level of paradise. He created hellfire, and He made one of the most severe punishments of hellfire, the place where munafiqeen are. And so in the creation, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, puts things and creates things at different levels. And He selects some over others. And so there are seasons in the year that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has selected in order to increase blessings and mercy for His servants, for the believer. We have just, Ramadan has passed. That was a special time, a time to gain closeness to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, a time to seek forgiveness for our sins, a time to seek protection from hellfire, to seek entry into paradise. And after some time, 2 months and 10 days, or 2 months, then the month of Dhul-Hijjah comes along. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam informs us in a hadith that the first 10 days of Dhul-Hijjah are the best days of the world. They are the most beloved days to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Just like the last 10 nights of Ramadan are the most beloved nights to Allah. And the reason is very obvious. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala appreciates the effort of the believers in His service and in His worship in these 10 nights of Ramadan and in these 10 days of Dhul-Hijjah. So they are the most beloved to Allah. And out of them, the most holy, the most sacred, the most beloved day is the day of Eid. Because the day of Eid, in it there are many forms of worship. The first one is that the people who are performing Hajj are performing rituals during that day, the 10th of Dhul-Hijjah. Other than the Hujjaj are sacrificing and making Udhiyah. And then you have prayer. And you have the remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the form of takbirat after every salah. And so this is by far the most beloved day to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the year, the 10th of Dhul-Hijjah. And the most beloved action to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala on this day, the 10th of Dhul-Hijjah, after salah, is what? The udhiyah, the sacrifice. Sacrificing an animal for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And so these 10 days are special. And Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam stated in a hadith that the most beloved actions of worship to Allah are the ones that are done in these first 10 days. And then we have, in these 10 days, we have the 9th of Dhul-Hijjah, which is known as Al-Hajj Al-Akbar for the people who are performing Hajj. And it falls this year, bi-idhnillah, it seems like it's going to fall on a Friday. The day of Arafah is a day in which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forgives sins and delivers people of hellfire, just like Laylatul Qadr, right? Laylatul Qadr is a night in which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forgives sins and delivers people from hellfire. The day of Arafah is a day where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forgives sins and delivers people from hellfire. And this is extended to all the believers. It is not exclusive to what? To the Hujjaj and the people who are performing Hajj. It is extended to all the believers. This is why Rasulullah SAW encouraged us to fast the day of Arafah. And he said, in fasting the day of Arafah, Allah will forgive all previous, the sins of the previous year and the sins of the coming year. So how do we prepare ourselves? Firstly, we need to know what needs to be done, what actions need to be done during these first 10 days. The first and foremost is making a firm intention to increase our worship and to seek closeness to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Number one, firm intention. Reminding ourselves of the approach of these 10 days and that I am going to give extra time. I'm going to be more committed in these 10 days than I am generally throughout the year. This is number one, a firm intention to seek to please Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Number two is that we make a sincere tawbah, because sometimes the sins that we have committed, whether intentionally, unintentionally, they become an obstacle between us and Allah. And so we can't get closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala because of these sins that act as barriers that stop us getting close to Allah and stop the blessings of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala descending on us and His mercy. So we do what? A sincere tawbah. And so we begin the first 10 days perhaps, or maybe even before then, offering two rak'ah, salatu tawbah, which is what? Tawbah is wajib, an obligation upon every believer, because we know that we are all sinners. So you offer two rak'ah and then you make dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, either in your sujood or after the salah, raising your hands, praise Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, send salutation upon Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and then speak to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You don't need fancy words. Whatever Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala inspires you with, in whatever language, in whatever form, speak to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The best way is to begin by acknowledging the blessings of Allah. Because we know in Sayyidul Istighfar, you say what? Oh Allah, I am your servant. You are my master. You have granted me many blessings that I cannot even count, let alone be thankful for. And I acknowledge all of these blessings. And you have commanded me, and I acknowledge your commandments. And you have forbidden certain things for me, and I acknowledge your commandments. However, some of the things that you've asked me to do, I have not done to the best of my ability. Some of them I have not done knowingly. Some of them I have ignored unknowingly. Likewise, you have asked me to stay away from certain sins. Some of them I have done intentionally and knowingly. Others I have done unintentionally and unknowingly. I ask for your forgiveness. I ask you to forgive all of my past sins. Sins that I have committed knowingly, unknowingly, openly, secretly. Things that I have done once. Things that I have been doing for a lifetime. All of the sins. And beg Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala likes to be He likes his servant to insist, to repeat time and time again, just like a child. You know, the child insists with the mother, right? And cries and insists until she gives in. Right? So this is beloved to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Because in insisting on Allah, you are doing what? You are acknowledging your weakness and you are acknowledging his power over you. And this is beloved to Allah, that you recognize that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has the ability to take away blessing. He has the ability to take away iman. He has the ability to punish you in this life, and he has the ability to punish you in the life after death. Rasulullah says in a hadith that when a servant commits a sin and then repents, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, "Aznaba abdi dhanban." My servant has committed a sin, my servant. Despite we transgressing against Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Look at, if our child breaks what our rules, the first time you ignore it, the second time you advise them, the third time, there comes a point where you do what? You are no longer my child. Right? You say this. Why? Because you are extremely disappointed and extremely hurt. It doesn't change the fact, but you say it. Maybe you don't even mean it, but you say it because you are seeking to show how upset you are, how hurt you are. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, no matter how much you sin, He says, you are my servant. That doesn't change. My servant has committed a sin, and he acknowledges and knows that his Lord is capable and able of forgiving the sin, but also capable and able of taking him to task and punishing him. And so with that, we implore Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's forgiveness. Tawbah is extremely important. Then, fulfilling the obligations. And the first and foremost is what? Salah on time. So generally a believer should not delay their salah, should not make a qada. Meaning that fajr should be offered before sunrise. Dhuhr should be offered before asr enters. Asr should be completed before maghrib. Maghrib should be offered before isha. Isha should be offered before midnight, or at the very least before fajr salah. And so during these 10 days, we need to make the utmost effort not to delay prayer. Prayer has to be offered, no matter the circumstances, it has to be offered in its time. Because if we don't do that, then we cannot expect any mercy from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You have to fulfill your side of the bargain. Rasulullah said that the relationship or the agreement or the contract between the servant and Allah is that the servant worships and Allah grants paradise. And so if you don't fulfill your side of the bargain, then you cannot expect Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, if out of His sheer mercy and generosity He grants you entry into paradise, that is up to Him. And so fulfilling and offering our salah in due time, this is the first. The second very important is to avoid sin as much as possible during these 10 days. Avoiding sin is an active act of worship. To stay away from sin is more beloved to Allah than to do voluntary worship. If you pray your 5 daily salah and stay away from sin, then you are obeying Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala throughout that period when you are not sinning. Because it takes an awareness of Allah to stay away from sin. And that awareness of Allah is a state of dhikr and remembrance. So fulfill our, make tawbah, fulfill, prepare ourselves mentally. Make tawbah, fulfill the obligations, stay away from sin. Then you have the most important is the dhikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the remembrance of Allah, which is the most important voluntary deed a person can do in order to enter paradise. A sahabi radiallahu anhu said that, Ya Rasulullah, inform me of an action. If I do it, I will enter paradise. He said, لا يزال لسانك رطبا بذكر الله أو من ذكر الله. Let your tongue be moist with the remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Sahabi asked, how do I enter paradise? He says, remember Allah. Because the one who remembers Allah, even if it is just with the tongue, eventually what happens is that the person becomes more aware of Allah. And if you are more aware of Allah, then you are less likely to sin. It doesn't mean that you are not going to sin. You're going to have moments of ignorance and heedlessness. But in general, you are remembering Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, so you will not sin. And when the time to fulfill a command and an obligation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you will fulfill it because you are aware of Allah. You are in a state of dhikr. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grants you the ability to do more good deeds through dhikr. So ulama say that if you find it difficult to do voluntary deeds, start with the remembrance of Allah. That will lead to other That will lead to sadaqah, that will lead to fasting, that will lead to recitation of Quran, that will lead to being good to others, being in the service of the creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. All of this will come from the remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And so, salah on time, fulfilling the obligations, staying away from sin, remembering Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And do, if a person can have a plan of 100 times istighfar in a day. 100 times, astaghfirullah 100 times. You know, how long does it take? Maybe less than a minute. Astaghfirullah 100 times. And then, Allahumma salli wa sallim ala Sayyidina Muhammad 100 times. Sending salutation upon Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. We owe this to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He sacrificed his life and everything that was dear to him. His family members, his wealth, his homeland. Everything that was dear to him was sacrificed by Rasulullah ﷺ so that you and I today can sit here and do what? And worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And so we owe it to him that in these, throughout our life, we send salutation upon Rasulullah ﷺ. This is why you, in salah, you complete your salah with what? Salutation upon Rasulullah ﷺ. Imam Ahmad rahmatullah alayhi says that salutation is wajib. If a person does not do it, their salah is not complete. If you don't say, Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ala Ali Muhammad at the end of your salah. Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made him a means for our guidance. So sending salutation upon Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Number 3, tasbih, tahmid, tahleel and takbir. Out of them, takbir is the most beloved to Allah. Allahu Akbar. Right? So subhanallah, alhamdulillah, la ilaha illallah, Allahu Akbar. But takbir is the most important one in these 10 days. And actually it begins with Dhul Hijjah. The beginning of Dhul Hijjah, you have open takbir. Meaning that anytime you remember, make the takbir of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allahu Akbar, La ilaha illallah, Allahu Akbar, wa lillahi alhamd. Or just Allahu Akbar. Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar. This is taken from the verses of, directly from the verses of the Quran. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَلِكُلِّ أُمَّةٍ جَعَلْنَا مَنْسَكًا لِيَذْكُرُ اسْمَ اللَّهِ عَلَى مَا رَزَقَهُمْ مِنْ بَهِيمَةِ الْأَنْعَامِ. That this, every nation has been given a time, a specific time, to increase their remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And Hajj, the whole Hajj is what? Remembrance of Allah Azza wa Jal, dhikr. وَذْكُرُ اللَّهَ فِي أَيَّامٍ مَعْدُودَاتٍ. That remember Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in specific days. And so, throughout the 9 days of Dhul Hijjah, making takbir, or should I say, the 8 days of Dhul Hijjah, the first 8 days, takbir, and reminding ourselves, any gathering we are in, Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar, begin the gathering with that. You're sat down for a meal, Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar, La ilaha illallah, Allahu Akbar, walillahi alhamd. They said that Sahaba radiallahu anhu majma'een, specifically Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu, and Abdullah ibn Abbas would go out in the market and call out takbir loudly in the first 8 days of Dhul Hijjah. So reminding one another. And then you have the takbir muqayyad, that is specific to the day of Arafah, the day of Eid, and the 2 days after the day of Eid. Right? The 10, 11, and 12. So 9, 10, 11, 12. It begins at Ayyamu Tashriq. It begins on the day of Arafah after Salatul Fajr. Differences of opinion, but the most common is to begin on the day of Arafah after Salatul Fajr. What you do? After every fard salah, you make takbir. The bare minimum is one. Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar, La ilaha illallah, Allahu Akbar, wa lillahi alhamd. Right? And the recommended is 3 times. After Fajr, after Dhuhr, after Asr, whether you pray in congregation, whether you pray at home alone, making the takbirat. And so we said the first is offering salah on time and fulfilling obligation, staying away from sin, remembering Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, especially in the form of takbir during the first 8 days, generally and specifically the 3 days, the day before Eid, the day of Eid, and the 2 days following Eid, until Salatul Asr of the 12th of Dhul Hijjah. Then we have what? Fasting. We said the fast of the day of Arafah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forgives the sins of the previous year and the coming year. This is one day. However, there are narrations that tell us that Rasulullah would fast the first 9 days of Dhul Hijjah. And so if a person is able to fast throughout the 9 days, why? Because generally Rasulullah has informed us that worship is beloved to Allah in these first 10 days. And one of the most beloved worships to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the first one is Salah, and then next comes fasting. Because Rasulullah says that Allah Azza wa Jalla in Hadith Qudsi says that all of the actions of the son of Adam belong to him. He will benefit except for the fast. It belongs to me, and I will grant the reward for it. And the fasting person has two moments of happiness. One, when he breaks his fast because he is happy. Either he is happy to eat a meal, or he is happy that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave him the ability to fast. But anyway, he is pleased at the time of breaking his fast. And he is pleased at the time when he meets his Lord. Rasulullah says, the person who fasts one day for the sake of Allah, one day, Allah will put a distance of 70 years between his face and hellfire. And fasting in these days of summer days is even more beloved to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The more we want to fast in December. We can't wait for Ramadan to come to December. Oh, remember when Ramadan was in December? Iftar is 3:45, suhoor is 7 o'clock. Right? Why? Because we want the easy. We want what is easy. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala loves to see his servant what? Suffering. Sacrificing. In order to gain closeness to Allah. They say one of the Sahaba radiallahu anhu majma'in, at the time of his death, he was sad. And he said that, Ya Allah, you know that I am not sad for leaving this world or any of this world's material. But I am sad because I will no longer have the opportunity to stand the nights in worship. And I will no longer have the opportunity to fast during the hot days of the year. And so the Salihin would seek out and would seek to exert themselves in order to show Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala their commitment, right? And so yes, there are very long days. You know, Fajr is 2:30 suhoor, and Maghrib is something like 9:30. I think it falls in the longest days of the year. And the weather is hot. But if we, you know, the pain goes away. Remember Ramadan? Remember Ramadan 4 or 5 years ago when it was in August? The pain goes. What remains is what? The reward. The reward that you have accumulated. Pain will go. And then when you commit sin, the enjoyment, it's only a memory, a distant memory. What remains is the burden of the sin and the possibility of punishment. And so, you know, at the very least, the day of Arafah. But if we can fast during the first 8 days, that will also be beneficial, inshallah, tabarak wa ta'ala. The last but not least, in these 10 days, we said that the most beloved action to Allah after fulfilling the obligation is the udhiyah, the sacrifice. There are a number of reasons why we sacrifice. The first one is to celebrate the blessing of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. To celebrate the blessing that Allah has permitted us to take life in order to do what? In order to nourish ourselves. He says that I have created these animals, cattle, for you in order for us to take benefit from them. And one form of benefit is to nourish ourselves. And this is, we've said before, the reason you say Bismillah, Allahu Akbar at the time of Dhabiha, one of the reasons, yes, it makes it halal. But the reason is that you are taking life, and life is sacred to Allah. And you cannot take life without permission from Allah. And so this is why you take the name of Allah at the time of slaughtering the animal. Anyway, it is to celebrate this great blessing. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, ولكل أمة جعلنا منسكا ليذكروا اسم الله على ما رزقهم من بهيمة الأنعام. That every nation have been commanded to do what? To celebrate this blessing of Allah. Whether you are a meat eater or not, it's up to you. But it is a blessing. Right? You enjoy it, you don't enjoy it, you like it, you don't like it. It is what? A blessing. Allah has permitted you to. Your like and dislike is your personal choice. And so for that we do what? We sacrifice. Then it is a commemoration and remembering the sacrifice of Ibrahim alayhi salam. Because we are what? We are the ummah that is following the way and the path laid out by Ibrahim alayhi salam. And so the Sahaba radiallahu anhu majma'in said, Ya Rasulullah, you know this udhiyah that we are, the sacrificing animals, why do we do it? He said, it is the sunnah and tradition of your father Ibrahim. This is number one. They said, okay, Ya Rasulullah, this is a sunnah. What's in it for us? Rasulullah says that on the day of Qiyamah, these animals will be brought and will be placed on the scale as on the side of Hasanat. So the bigger the animal, the healthier the animal, the more expensive the animal is, the more valuable it is, the more, the greater the reward. And so we know that, you know, you can sacrifice, you know, goat, sheep, cow, ox, and camel, right? And so the greater the animal, the more a person spends for the udhiyah, the more reward they will gain. And Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam says that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will grant reward for every strand of hair on that animal. And so it is what? Sunnatul mu'akkadah according to the majority. The udhiyah and sacrifice is sunnah mu'akkadah according to the majority of ulama. Some have considered it to be wajib. Why? Because Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam from year 2 Dhul Hijjah, he performed udhiyah throughout his life, every Eid. And Rasulullah ﷺ would perform two udhiyahs, one on behalf of himself and his family, and one on behalf of the members of the ummah that are not able to make udhiyah. Right? The people who are not able to make udhiyah, in order to include them in the reward. Because generally it is the breadwinner of the family that makes the udhiyah, and he includes the family members. It is not like, let's say for example, sadaqatul fitr, you have to give on behalf of every person, right? Whereas udhiyah, one udhiyah, you can include all your family members, and they have a share of the reward. And Rasulullah is the spiritual father of this ummah, right? And so for that reason, he would sacrifice on behalf of those who are not able to make the udhiyah. Who is the udhiyah compulsory on? The udhiyah is compulsory on every person that has the ability to afford it. They can afford it on the day. They can afford to make udhiyah, and it is not going to put them in a financial difficulty, because we are, in our day and time, people receive their income weekly or monthly, right? And so after your monthly needs, if you have money left over, according to Imam Abu Hanifa rahmatullah alayhi, he says the nisab of zakat. If you have the nisab of zakat, nisab of zakat is somewhere around 300 to 400 pounds. Right. And so if you have the price of udhiyah, and it's not going to put you in financial difficulty, in the sense that you can fulfill all of your needs throughout that month, then udhiyah becomes wajib according to the minority, and sunnah mu'akkada according to the majority opinion. Right? And so the price of udhiyah is what? £150. If you do it with charity online, it's best to do it. And the sunnah of Rasulullah is that you eat from your udhiyah. You know, the sunnah is actually to sacrifice and slaughter yourself. That is not available. Then at the very least, that meat should come to your home, and you eat some of it, and then your family members, right? And so this distant udhiyah is discouraged, right? You still have fulfilled the sunnah, but it is discouraged because you know, especially children, children need to understand the importance of this Eid al-Adha and the importance of the Udhiyah. Right? If you don't do that, and then, you know, one, two generations, and then the Sunnah will disappear completely, because if they are not able to see it physically, then they don't realize its importance. Right? So we said what? It is Sunnah Mu'akkada on anybody who can afford it. So if you have £150 more than, or whatever the value of the Udhiya is, more than what you need for your basic necessities in that month, then you should make Udhiya. It is the same for both men and women. Women can make Udhiya, men can make Udhiya, but it is enough for the man, the breadwinner. If he makes Udhiya, then it is enough for the family members, and he can include all his family members into that Udhiya. So for example, let's say a man, and this is the majority opinion, is that if a man has elder children, but they are living with him, his wife is wealthy, but she is he is financially responsible for her, then not every individual needs to make Udhiya, only one person. This is the majority opinion. However, the opinion of Imam Abu Hanifa rahmatullah alayh, he says that every person who has wealth that is able to make Udhiya should make Udhiya, whether that is a man, a woman, a child, right? They should make Udhiya. The person who is responsible for their finance will take care of the Udhiya on their behalf. So for a woman, her husband will do his own Udhiya, and she will also give for her Udhiya. Maybe elder children who are living in the family home, who have an income, right, and who are financially able to afford the Udhiya, then, you know, the father should ensure that their Udhiya is also done. The Udhiya can be done on the day of Eid and the following 2 days. The best time for Udhiya is the morning of Eid, between Shuruq, after Eid Salah, all the way until Salatul Dhuhr. This is until Zawal. This is the best time. The person who is performing Udhiya should avoid cutting hair and nails. Rasulullah said that any person who is making Udhiya, they should avoid cutting hair and nails. Making Udhiya meaning the person who is paying for it. The person who is paying for the Udhiya. Right? You'll say, well, none of us are going to physically sacrifice. The one who, on whom Udhiya is a sunnah and is paying for Udhiya, whether you are doing it yourself, you're giving the Muslim butchers, you are doing it on donating it to a Muslim charity, it doesn't matter. If you intend to make Udhiya, do not cut your hair, do not cut your nails. This is what a sunnah and a command of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. If a person unknowingly or mistakenly or for whatever reason they did that, their Udhiya is still valid. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's messenger taught us to do what? To imitate the Haji. And so because the Haji is not permitted to cut their hair, cut their nails until they have come out of Ihram, until they have sacrificed, so likewise the person who is making the Udhiya, paying for the Udhiya, on whom the Udhiya is sunnah or wajib, they should refrain from cutting hair and nails from the first day of Dhul Hijjah that is going to fall on. We are 25th of Dhul Qa'dah, right? So 4 to 5 days. Okay. From that point onwards, no cutting hair, no cutting nails until the animal has been sacrificed, until you know that the animal and the Udhiya has been completed. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to grant us understanding and to enable us to act as on what was said and heard. Subhanakallahumma hamdika, nashhadu an la ilaha illa anta, nastaghfiruka wa natubu ilayk.